Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's huge. You know, having someone like Shane that's been in, you know, different positions with different, you know, QBs at different learning stages and things like that, it only helps me. I mean, so him being in the position that he's in and been in this offense for so long, obviously, it's going to help me. And it's a learning process for me. So I have to put in the work, but I also know that I have someone and you know, a support team and staff around me to help me and keep growing throughout the process.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Caleb Williams likes his offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. I was out at the Bears OTA that was open to the media and saw lots of interaction between Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams. It seems like Caleb Williams is anxious to learn. I mean, we heard him talk about that, and I got to see it in play the other day just a little bit. And, yeah, I mean, as you have heard from our reporting here at The Score, it was not a great day for Caleb Williams and the offense going up against the experienced Bears defense from what we were able to see, mostly red zone work. I do have a question for Bears fans, and that is, and we're opening the phone lines, 312-644-6767. When you hear our reporting about the Bears and you hear that things are not that crisp yet, is your mind rational? Is your brain rational at that point? Are you like, okay, it's the first OTA, it's the first practice that, well, it's really the third practice against the pro defense. It's a rookie, it's an experienced defense. There's no way one should expect the offense to just all of a sudden shine and be at a 10 and be excellent right away. Or do you have so much trauma from the predecessors that were here who really from the beginning struggled as well? Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky both struggled early on in their careers, in the practices, obviously in the game. So where does your head go? Is it rational or traumatized? 312-644-6767. My brain, like, I have to be rational because we've seen it before. I mean, just in the NFL in general, rookie quarterbacks struggling early. But so much of the theme the other day was about how the defense is good, and this is good for Caleb Williams because that's what he's going to be facing. So you may as well go up against the top 10 or top 15 defense, wherever you want to rank the Bears at this point. And in theory, that sounds great. And there were lots of questions to that end, and I'm sure it was written about a lot, and we've talked about it a lot. Oh, yeah, that's great. The defense is going to help out the offense, and what a great test this is for Caleb Williams. And this is not fair for me to do what I did, but my brain immediately went back to 2018 and really 2019, where it's Mitch Trubisky, and we're doing the exact same theme. Because back then, the Bears defense was as legitimate as it gets. It was for at least 1 year during that Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy era, it was an elite defense. So it was fun to say, oh, this is good for Mitch Trubisky. He's getting crushed, by the way, in training camp. We're all watching, and it's just like play after play after play. The offense looks confused. Mitch Trubisky is missing tip balls and all of that. going on, you know, with Kyle Fuller out there and Prince Amukamara causing problems and Keem Hicks. So, yeah, that is where my brain went. Like, I'm thinking, wait a minute, that whole storyline about the defense helping the offense. Now, it's not fair because Caleb Williams is a different prospect, a better prospect, a more known prospect than we barely knew Mitch Trubisky, basically, because of the lack of experience that he had had in college. So it's really not fair. So I am fighting my irrational brain that just, hey, my brain does what it does. It went back to that year. So that is a little bit of an issue that sticks with me. And I think it's good for reference, for sure, just to make sure that we're all kind of on the same level. But on the overall, it is true. It is so early. It's the third time Shane Waldron is teaching a new offense to everybody except for those that have some experience in it. There is no way one should expect the offense to just explode and be great right away. 312-644-6767 on where your head went when you heard our reporting about Caleb Williams. And we're going to take some of your calls here in a second. I also want to bring in a guy, Kerry Joseph, is the new quarterbacks coach of the Chicago Bears. And last week, about a week and a half ago, I was part of a small group of reporters, about five of us, surrounding Kerry Joseph on field four after the practice had ended. And obviously, you know how important, you know, Shane Waldron, number one in the offense and developing Caleb Williams. But Kerry Joseph is the guy that has to become best friends with Caleb Williams and understand everything about him and help him in every way, shape, and form. And there's three things that Kerry Joseph said that I want to play that I thought were the most important from this about a 10-minute conversation or so. Matt Eberflus, one of the things that he said the other day without any kind of hesitation is that Caleb Williams' aptitude essentially for learning is a 10, like terrific. And I could tell by the way Matt Eberflus was saying it that he was being completely genuine and it wasn't hyperbole. Here's more with Kerry Joseph on that exact concept.
He's one of those guys that he wants to know why. You know, you put something in, you put a play in, you talk about it, you give him the progressions, whether it's run or pass, like he wants to know why. Last night, probably by 10:30, 11 o'clock, he texts me, hey, why are we doing this here? Why are we blocking it like that? Isn't that his guy to block? He just wants to know. He wants those answers. And when you got a guy like that, he's hungry for it. And you love to know that because now he becomes a coach on the field. Once he gets it, and he learns the whole system, he'd become a coach on the field now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point that you want to get him to. And for the record, that's before the OTA that we watched the other day. So, like I said, I did see that. I saw that. I saw Caleb Williams being very vocal, asking questions, all of that, you know, one-on-one with more Shane Waldron than Kerry Joseph, but both surrounding him and there to answer his questions. The idea, too, like just at the very end, like the idea that he could be a coach on the field, there's going to be a point, hopefully, with Caleb Williams. If Caleb Williams becomes what his ceiling suggests he could become, that man is going to have so much power within the organization to do business the way he wants to do business. And I'm not saying in a bad way. I'm saying in a Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes kind of way where he is going to have a certain amount of autonomy or more than others. That is the way it is if he becomes an elite quarterback. So we want him to get to that point. And then, but there's that fine line too, where right now you want the coaching staff to have complete control over Caleb Williams. So at least the fundamentals are there, the concepts of the offense before he begins to color outside of the line. And that brings us into, again, this is Kerry Joseph, the Bears quarterbacks coach, into the off script plays, like at USC, where he apparently had to do more of that because the talent on offense wasn't good. The offensive line would break down. But the question to Kerry Joseph is how do you keep him trusting the offense that the Bears have put around him and keep him in a quote-unquote system?
Just look at the players around you. You don't have to do it all. This organization has done a great job of putting some players in place, guys that were here, bringing guys in, the coaches that's here, He doesn't have to do it all. And then how you do that, you just utilize the people around you, and then you just watch it unfold in front of you. You know, that's my words of advice is, because the stuff that he's able to do, the God-given talent that he has, that's going to be natural. That's going to happen in the course of a game. When things break down, he's been doing it. He's been doing it. It's just having the understanding that, hey, know when to do it, know how to do it, know the situations, but also maybe being able to use the guys around you.
So it's a little dance that the coaching staff, I think, is doing right now. Like, there's nobody out there who wants to take away that talent and the off script and the improvising that Caleb Williams has shown he is able to do. But I think for right now, coaching is so important, and being authoritative and saying this is the way it's going to be done and not really giving a lot of choices to Caleb Williams right now. And then you get into the off-script plays, and then you let him go, and hopefully 3 years down the line, he will have that power and that autonomy in the organization, because that would obviously portend really good things for the Chicago Bears. One more here, and I'll see a couple calls here, 312-644-6767. I'll jam on those here in a second. One more from Kerry Joseph. He was asked, was there a conversation that you had with Caleb Williams or something that you heard from Caleb Williams that has stood out to you?
And it actually wasn't a conversation with me. I'm going to tell you where it was. Listen to him on the pivot with where Ryan Clark, Channing.
Yeah.
I know those guys, Crowder. I always mess his last name up. I know him real well. But listening to that conversation was like, you know what? Boom. I love it.
Yeah.
You know why? You can just feel his passion.
Yeah.
Everything that he's went through, and he's just ready for this moment.
Yeah, it was actually a really insightful podcast. I would definitely recommend that you hear all of it. But let's hear, just so you have somewhat of an idea of where Kerry Joseph is coming from in referencing that podcast. Here is the podcast discussing the leadership of Caleb Williams on the pivot.
It's impacted me tremendously through my parents, of how they've led me, how they lead people. My mom's also she used to be at least a daycare owner, and so she was always in the daycare, treating people and kids that weren't hers as if they were hers, and taking care of them, fixing, you know, her own recipes and foods and things like that, that I would eat at home. And then my dad leading his business meetings. My dad, you know, being a strong-minded, you know, black man that you know, walks the beat of his own drum, you know, maybe in a profession that, you know, many years has not been, you know, very, very supportive of you know, black men. Been in real estate development for, I guess, 30 years now. So, you know, I think 30 years back, being in real estate development and being successful is, you know, you have to walk to your beat of your own drum. And so in those ways, it's been tremendous for me for many things that y'all may see me do or may see in media that I've done, for whether it's my guys, you know, taking my guys to Heisman with me. And you know, they weren't coming. I wasn't going to go. You know, taking the guys to go paintballing just to have fun. No cameras other than, you know, the little fun montage we made for ourselves. You know, shooting each other with the paintball guns, but nothing was posted. Nothing was, you know, other than maybe stories. But, you know, not doing it for anything, to just, you know, care for my guys, take care of my guys, enjoy, build relationships and bonds. Because those are the most important things, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a football player, QB, the relationship and bond that you have with your guys is most important.
Great stuff right there. Pretty real stuff from Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, and also referencing his father, Carl Williams. I have not met Carl Williams yet, but I love Carl Williams. And the reason I love Carl Williams, because everybody's worried, oh, is this going to be the meddling dad who's going to keep Caleb Williams from coming to the Bears? Is he going to cause him to change the way the rookie contract structure is? But man, I was won over when they were revealing that, you know, Carl Williams and Caleb Williams and Ryan Poles all met, and essentially Ryan Poles selling them on why things are going to be different this time around. You're damn right. It's about time somebody challenged the Bears on, well, how are things going to be different? Why Why is my son going to succeed and his predecessors did not? That Mitch Trubisky did not succeed here. Justin Fields did not succeed here. So somebody need, like, my son is going to play here, but you need to explain to me. And good for Ryan Poles to say, we are going to do things differently. We have learned from mistakes of in the past. And in theory, on paper, the Bears have followed through so far by putting around Caleb Williams what they have put around Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen being one of those, DJ Moore being one of those, Roma Dunze being another one of those. And here's some good news, too. Good news to me, anyway. It looks like Ryan Bates is going to be the center for the Bears. At least that's what I'm thinking here. He was the first guy to, at least from what we saw, Ryan Bates was the guy, the first string center for the Bears in the OTAs. You know, you have Coleman Shelton, who does have more experience. Here's why I like it, because I don't want there to be a competition. I want Caleb Williams to know who his center is going to be from day one. So I would say stick with it. It's not like you could have the debate over who's better, Ryan Bates or Coleman Shelton, but it's not like either is any kind of blockbuster center. Like, if you want to make a case for Coleman Shelton, and honestly, I thought it would be Coleman Shelton just because he does have more experience playing the center position. But really, it's kind of like neither one is discernibly better than the other. So pick one and stick with that. Now, maybe this all goes out the door when we watch an OTA again later on this week, I believe on Friday, the next time that we get to be out there. I want to see Ryan Bates continue to be the pick one, get it over with, be done with it by mini camp and, of course, by training camp. Have your starting center in there with Caleb Williams. If they don't, I think that would be a mistake. Tell you what. Let's go to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Alex, if you could, bring me Mason in Rockford. Mason, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I was just hoping to call in and give you my opinion on this whole, like, everybody freaking out on Twitter, X or whatever, about Caleb Williams throwing, seven interceptions at practice.
Yeah.
And I have a brother. He's a huge – me and him are both huge football fans. We've both played football most of our lives. So we text back and forth all day about whatever's going on with the Bears. And he texts me about this, and he's freaking out. Like, Caleb Williams is a bust. He just threw seven interceptions. We shouldn't have picked him. And I'm just like it immediately made me think of a couple years ago when the 49ers had Jimmy Garoppolo. And they had a really good defense, and George Kittle, I think it was, went on an interview, and he said that he was like, I'm no longer surprised why Jimmy Garoppolo threw four interceptions at practice in the summer, you know, because the defense was that good.
Yeah, well,
and I think our defense is, they're seasoned, they've been around, they've played together, like, they're a good defense, they're a top 10, like you said, defense in the NFL, so I'm not surprised that our rookie quarterback with brand new receivers is struggling right now.
Yeah, no, it is understandable in that vein. And you're right. I mean, that's rational thinking right there. The defense is ahead of the offense, and it's one stinking practice that we got to watch. So that is, you're absolutely right. And I apologize for being a little bit distracted. We have breaking news here, and I don't have too much on it. Breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. This is from the verified account of Adrian Wojnarowski. Hall of Fame center Bill Walton has died of cancer, the NBA says. He was 71 years old. So Bill Walton, one of the greatest college players of all time at UCLA, a great NBA player until he was considerably hobbled towards the end. That, unfortunately for me and probably a lot of people, like, that was the part of Bill Walton's career that I saw. I didn't see his Portland Trailblazers. They saw his later Boston days when he was kind of broken down. And then Bill Walton, just one of the greatest personalities the NBA has ever seen as a player and then as a broadcaster for so many years with some of the bizarre things that he would say and some of the really insightful things he would say. He was always, always a comfortable watch and listen. He was on this radio station many times, but this is a shocker. This is a shocker to hear that Bill Walton, one of the great characters and players of the NBA, and maybe even meant more to college basketball, Bill Walton has passed away. When we come back, we move on to the Chicago White Sox, and I am being told that Pedro Grifol is piling on a little bit. He was talking about how sort of listless his team is looking, and said that after the Orioles beat the White Sox yesterday 4-1, we're going to hear what Pedro Grifol said yesterday. Some people thought maybe he's going to back off of that a little bit. Doesn't sound like it. We will play that audio for you next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
2-1. Jokes, this could be it. Fly ball out to right.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Orioles have come to Chicago and taken all four games in this four-game series, a combined one hitter from the Orioles pitching staff.
But we saw magnificent pitching on both sides of the equation. The difference was Baltimore could hit the ball out of the ballpark. The Sox could not, although they did get their one hit from Danny Mendick. So unfortunately, a tough series for the boys. And quick turnaround day game tomorrow. Happy Memorial Day. I will see you then.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You are allowed only one hit if you are the White Sox, and it was a Danny Mendick homer. White Sox lose to the Orioles 4-1, as seen on NBC Sports Chicago. John Triffin and Steve Stone with the call. Kyle Bradish, 7 shutout, no-hit innings, featuring 11 strikeouts, 4 walks, 103 pitches, and that's why they pulled him, and then it was Mendick immediately getting to the bullpen. That's the way it usually works. Garrett Crochet, though, was fantastic as well. 6 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 11 strikeouts, and 1 walk. He gave up a later home run to Adley Rutschman, 2-run blast. My God, that guy, he's so good. Switch hitting, excellent catcher, and it would appear to me that he's like Chris Bryant nice as well. So the White Sox have lost 5 in a row. You're going to be hearing that kind of thing all season. Sox have lost 7 in a row. Sox have lost 9 in a row. Sox have lost 3 in a row. They are 15-39. The team is not good. So after the game yesterday, after the being swept in 4 games by the Baltimore Orioles in a fascinating series, really, Pedro Grifol was tough on his team.
All right, I don't have much. Crochet pitches ass off. We got no hit through 8. We had a pinch hitter break it up. Most of the guys were f-ing flat today. Unacceptable. That's all I got.
When you say flat?
Flat. Period. Major league game. Got to respect it. Pretty simple.
How do you and the coaching staff treat the guys after that?
I'm not going to talk about that.
Why does that happen?
I'm not going to talk about it.
What differentiates what you saw today in the advance compared to, you know, other games with the offensive structure that you contributed?
With the at-bats?
What do you see about the at-bats?
No adjustments. We didn't make any adjustments to this guy.
What do you do tomorrow to prevent that from
happening? You got to come back ready to play.
Would you say he was a good pitcher today? Was he tough out there?
I mean, he was good. He hit his spots, and you know he mixed it up pretty good. But we still got to make adjustments to it. I'm pretty good guy. I'm good.
Go Pedro Grifol, calling his team effing. I believe that was the word that was bleeped. Effing flat. Good for you, Pedro Grifol. Of all the mistakes that Pedro Grifol has made, and I thought most of them came last year, handling things on and off of the field. And yeah, he deserves a lot of that. But that's like Rosenblum was saying, he felt that was disingenuous. I disagree. Though that was a man who was being authoritative and calling his team out. Just because there's no expectation for the White Sox, you're damn right that if you're bad, eventually somebody's got to tell you that you're bad. Now, I wish Pedro Grifol would talk about it. He said he's not going to talk about it, So I guess he didn't want to go so far as to call out individuals. So that was yesterday. And the one other cut from yesterday that I want you to hear, this is White Sox rookie catcher Corey Lee responding to Pedro Grifol, the White Sox manager, yesterday.
Pedro said the team was effing flat. You didn't use effing. What would you agree with that statement?
I'm going to let him comment on his statement, and he's going to feel that way, and obviously we're going to have a different feeling. He's entitled to his own opinion, and we are also, and I think it's a valid reason. It's nothing to hide about that, but like I said, he has his opinions, and other people are going to have their opinions.
Well, the opinion should be to anybody talking about, he's right. You don't have to like Pedro Grifol. I don't know if these guys respect Pedro Grifol. Maybe they all hate Pedro Grifol. I have no idea. But Pedro Grifol is right about this. Wear it. And you know what? I know how it goes on bad teams in sports. Nobody really wants to blame themselves. Everybody's thinking, I got to get out of here. This is ridiculous. This is not on me. It's on you. It is on you. Yeah, the manager, Pedro Grifol, may not be long for the White Sox. Maybe Chris Getz was not the right choice to be the general manager. Maybe you don't like the owner of the White Sox, but there is culpability for the players as well on that field every day. So I think that this is something you got to accept, even if it's absolutely jarring to you. Now, White Sox and Blue Jays getting ready to go. It's the start of a 3-game series, 1-10 start, and just a short while ago, everybody's expecting, oh man, Pedro, man, using that F-bomb and ripping on his team. Is he going to back off? Let's listen to Pedro Grifol just a short while ago.
I'm doubling down on what I said yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were flat, and that's where I'm going to leave it. We have to make adjustments today, okay, and go out there and play the game, you know, as hard as we can. And they got their opinions. I have mine. This is not divided by any means. This is not them against Pedro, Pedro against them. It's just a situation, okay? I thought we were flat. They didn't think we were flat. It's over. We got to go out there and play baseball.
So when you address it, what response do you expect as far
as... I'm not going to address it. I already addressed it.
I'm talking about the response you expect from the team to be different.
Just go out there and play the game hard, the way we've been playing the game, and respect the game. We all have a responsibility, you know, here in the major leagues to come out and give it our very best every single day. We have a responsibility to our owner. We have a responsibility to this uniform that we wear, to the fans that come see us play, and we have a responsibility to do this every single day. Not once in a while, not 4 out of 5, not 6 out of 7. Every single day we have a responsibility.
He's not wrong about any of that. Good for Pedro Grifol. I mean, seriously, to not back off. Because, I mean, that's the, generally speaking, that's what occurs with good managers and bad managers. The next day, I've said what I said. We're all good. We're all on the same page. Everything is happy. Now, I don't expect Pedro Grifol to be here probably after this year. But in this spot right here, Pedro Grifol is right. He is absolutely right to say something to wake this team the bleep up. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's get a little bit of reaction to what Pedro Grifol is saying about his team. We go to David in Peru. Hi, David. You're on the Score.
I'll tell you one thing I think is wrong with the White Sox. Tony La Russa makes field trips. Pedro Grifol said he talks to Tony every day and his goofy lineups reflect it. Get this, and I'm not talking to you that way, but Tony was with Boston. He was with Arizona.
Yeah.
and he was with Los Angeles. Every single one of those organizations went downhill after he was there. And what? And the goofy lineups are on Tony, too. Pedro, either become your own man and quit talking to Tony or get out. I'm not saying he should be fired. But Tony, quit, or Pedro, quit listening to Tony.
Thanks. Thanks, Dave.
I mean,
go ahead, David.
Sitting next to Reinsdorf every day.
Uh-huh.
Every day.
I love it. I like that Tony La Russa has become the main, would it be an antagonist or a protagonist in a horror film? Do people root for the bad guy in the horror films? So
I believe that would be the antagonist.
I guess he's the antagonist. Yeah. I don't know. He's like Jason, you know? He's Freddy Krueger. Like, he just pops up just out of nowhere. It's like, oh, yeah, Tony La Russa.
Tony La Russa again, yeah.
So you want to be a movie star, do you? Well, here's prime time for you. That's my Freddy Krueger impersonation, by the way. It sounds a little like Harrison Ford, I know, but same tone.
I like when you blend the impersonations.
Oh, I often do. Like,
the
I've
hybrid
got,
impersonations are the
hybrid.
Best.
Yeah, I do hybrid impersonations. So like Tony La Russa, like La Russa, like you can't escape that. Like just when you think he's gone, somebody brings him. He comes back to life, like Freddy freaking Krueger. That's who he is. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe this texter said it right from the 847. He's not wrong talking about Pedro Grifol, but he's also bad. Yeah, two things can be true.
That is true. Both of those things.
Yeah, I am not here to like stick up for Pedro Grifol. I mean, you just can't. You cannot. But this right here, this little two-day thing that he's got going on, the words that he is using are absolutely correct. And who knows, like, what kind of critiquing Pedro Grifol has said or received from his bosses that may be saying the same thing. Hey, man, you better get this team in shape here, pal. I mean, that could be part of what's going on. And Pedro Grifol, finally, somebody has just had it with what is going on with the Chicago White Sox. Like, somebody other than Chuck Garfine and Ozzie Guillen needs to step on this team sometimes in terms of what they have been. So I think that he is well within his rights to be ripping on this team. I'm looking forward to, in a little bit, we're hearing that Gavin Sheets spoke to what Pedro Grifol was saying. So we will get to that in a little bit. And Gavin Sheets might have had the best moment of the weekend for the White Sox. Well, actually the Saturday game, a loss. We really got to dig deep for positives with the White Sox. They lose to Baltimore on Saturday, 5-3. Eric Fetty, tradable, been really good. 6 1/3 shutout innings. And then Gavin Sheets, a absolute thing of beauty on Saturday, a 2-out. Bases loaded triple. I think there might have been 2 strikes on him. What I do know is that it was also against a lefty, so that was pretty big. So, you know, maybe Sheets feeling himself a little bit. We'll see if he goes up against Pedro or if he agrees with Pedro. I mean, like I said, maybe these players don't respect him and don't like him, and that's why we heard the tone that we heard from Corey Lee. But at this point, you got to take it because of what's going on. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie in Florida. Paulie, Telly, what's going on?
Hey, great show, and I really respect your knowledge, your sports knowledge.
Thanks, Paulie.
I disagree with a little bit about Grifol, but first of all, let's start with Reinsdorf, right? He's only here to make a buck. Why would he spend more money? He doesn't make any more by spending more. The economics of pro sports has changed. It's 66% TV revenue. It's about 20% gambling, and you got 10 to 12, whatever left over, attendance and fans. They come in last. And Reinsdorf is there to make money. You invested $900,081 in the team for 1%. It's now worth $30 million. Okay, that's what Reinsdorf's around for.
I don't disagree with any of what you just said. Carry on, Paulie.
I played for the same college manager as Grifol, longtime coach at FSU, Mike Martin. Grifol is a disciple of Mike Martin's. Grifol is here to instill a way of playing
with his two hands tied behind his back. He's managing double-A players. Until this five-game losing streak, they started out 3-22. They were 12-12. He's got double-A players. Grafal knows what he's doing. And when he leaves here and goes to a team that has any semblance of talent, it will show. He is here to instill a way of playing. And for Corey Lee, I mean, he's a modern-day young guy. He's going to – I mean, how could you even defend yourself? You get no hit for seven innings. You make absolutely no adjustments.
I agree with that. I disagree with you a little bit. Like, Pedro talked about a certain way of playing, and I don't think he was ready last year. And I don't expect necessarily a first-time manager to be ready. But at every turn last year, when there was a chance to manage the ball club, whether in the clubhouse or on the field, there were specific places where he failed. Now, he has to have gotten better. I would imagine he is a better manager now. And by saying what he said today, that is definitely a positive point on the resume for this year for Pedro Grafal. Now, like I said, what I don't know is how the players feel about him. And maybe, you know, the Corey Lee played it pretty generically. I don't want to read into it too much, but I do wish that he would have just said, accepted what's going on and said, yeah, he's right. We got to play better. We got to be better. We look effing terrible. We look effing flat right now is what he said. So, yeah, nobody was saying anything. We were all just letting this happen with the Chicago White Sox, and finally somebody is saying something. And the White Sox coming off a sweep, Michael Kopech, I don't know that he's involved in the guys that are looking flat. I don't know. Like, I can't describe a pitcher as flat. But, man, he had some rough times on Friday and Saturday. Kopech gives up the two-run homer to Adley Rutschman. So, so good, Adley Rutschman, on Friday. And then on Saturday, allows a two-run homer to Santander. And then Jordan Westberg with a home run as well. All those guys on Baltimore, too. Every one of them, like, first-round picks, top 10 picks. Pretty incredible and a wild series. 312-644-6767. If you want to get in on the White Sox talk, do you appreciate what Pedro Grafal said about the Chicago White Sox and that the team is looking effing flat? Was he out of line for saying that? I absolutely don't think he was out of line for saying that. 312-644-6767. If you did not hear as well, our breaking news today, Bill Walton passed away at the age of 71 of cancer.
And a programming note, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Our very own Chuck Swirsky, who is was friends with Bill Walton, will be joining us at 1 o'clock here.
Oh, great.
To talk a little bit about the late, great basketball legend.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, I will be looking forward to talking to Chuck. Unfortunately, we're not going to have schedule release Chuck on. I had such a great time talking to Chuck the other night for the schedule release. But yeah, we will talk about Bill Walton with Chuck Swirsky coming up at 1 o'clock, and I see you guys jumping in here. So we'll take some calls coming up next on the White Sox and Pedro Grafal. More Cubs talk coming up later on as well. I have notes and notes and notes of Cubs stuff I want to try to get to before Cubs baseball starts at 2:35 today on The Score.
All right, I don't have much. Crochet pitches ass off. We got no hit through eight. We had a pinch hitter break it up. Most of the guys were flat today. Unacceptable. That's all I got.
Maybe Pedro Grafal has been wrong about everything else he has done in his White Sox life, but he's right about that. He was right to say it. He was justified in saying it. We're going to jump on some more of your calls on that here in a second. 312-644-6767. Chuck Swirsky, we have confirmed, will join us in just a few minutes. 1 o'clock, that's about 8 minutes from right now. If you did not hear, Bill Walton died. He'd passed away at the age of 71, losing his battle with cancer. We know how important of a figure Bill Walton has been at all levels of his basketball life, especially in college at UCLA, what he did at Portland, the end of his career in Boston, and then maybe the most important part, or at least the most entertaining part of his career, was Bill Walton, the broadcaster, on the sidelines for many games as part of the three-men booths in in the NBA. He's been on this radio station a couple of times. He's been in the White Sox booth. We know what a character he is, and Chuck Swirsky knew the man well. So we will talk to the voice of the Bulls coming up at 1 o'clock. Also, the Cubs road trip continues today against the Brewers as Craig Counsell makes his return to Milwaukee. Pregame coverage starts at 2:35 with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call for the first pitch at 3:10. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. The White Sox swept in four games to the Orioles with the finale yesterday where they didn't have a hit until the eighth inning. That was a Danny Mendick homer. Sox lost to the Orioles 4-1. They've lost five in a row overall. They are on the verge of their 40th loss if they go down at the hands of the Blue Jays today, a game that starts at 1:10. Was Pedro Grifol justified in what he was saying? It's Mark on the South Side. What's up, Mark? You're on the score.
Hey, Mark, how you doing? Happy Memorial Day to you, your friends, and family.
Thanks, Mark.
Sorry to hear about Bill Walton. Quite an incredible individual. Pedro Grifol was right, and he had a right to almost go really on it. But anyway, the previous caller was right. That is a double-A team at best on that field every day, for more or less. And players not staying healthy. Eloy keeps going down. Roberts not playing. I think they're afraid to bring up Colson Montgomery and maybe even Kyle Busch, the pitcher they got, and Mark Eder, because if they go out there and pitch well and don't get run support, you know, they're going to start off their careers in a very disappointing way. I don't believe the White Sox can do anything, even if they lose 110 games. I think Pedro Grifol will keep his job to the end of the season, maybe going into next year, because Chris Getz and Tony La Russa, who's still part of the organization for some god I don't know reason in the manager, knows they cannot recruit a decent manager. And Pedro Grifol, I think, is not lost his right not to be manager. This is terrible. The team they put on the field every day, it's nothing but Mr. Reinsdorf's main fault.
Yeah, I mean, and then there was reports and rumors that, you know, the only reason Pedro Grifol is still here is because they didn't want to pay him on the way out the door. Today is not about whether Pedro Grifol keeps his job or not. Today is about, did Pedro Grifol do the right thing in laying into his team? And it's not like he called out an individual. He didn't do anything untoward, unless you don't like the fact that he used the F-bomb. But man, that is the best effect, I thought. That is good usage of the F-word. There's frivolous F-word usage, and there is good usage of it, and I think we got a little bit of it right there. And before I use the word, let's quickly get to Ken in Prospect Heights. Hello, Ken, you're on the score.
Well, as far as the F-bomb is concerned, Lee Elia still leads that category. So,
yeah, he does. I'm sure the anniversary is right around the corner. It's always the anniversary of the Lee Elia rant. So I'm sure that's coming up at some point in time, Ken. Go ahead.
You know, this is no surprise, guys. Coming out of Cactus League, this team was showing its true colors in Cactus League. No surprise here at all that the only limelight that we have to look forward to is when Crochet pitches. He does a hell of a job pitching, and he's done a tremendous job for the team. And, you know, as far as, Pedro saying what he had to say, I'm not quite sure if he was directed to say it or was the fall guy to have to say it, but I don't know how you motivate these guys, and I cannot blame some of the players because of the experience they have, and like the previous caller said, a double-A team. You got what you got. This was no surprise. And until the product gets better on the field, I don't know how Reinsdorf can be begging for money for a new stadium, because no matter what, until that product is better, you're not going to have fan support.
It is ironic that he would, ask for money and bigger things for a team that he does not really pour money into on the field. That is for sure. All right. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we are going to bring in the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, because it's a sad day in the NBA for a lot of people, because Bill Walton passed away at the age of 71 of cancer. Chuck knew him well. I feel like we all think we knew Bill Walton well just because of his public persona. But we're going to get some insights from Chuck Swirsky coming up next. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't have much. Crochet pitches ass off. We got no hit through eight. We had a pinch hitter break it up. Most of the guys were f***ing flat today. Unacceptable. That's all I got.
Maybe Pedro Grifol has been wrong about everything else he has done in his White Sox life, but he's right about that. He was right to say it. He was justified in saying it. We're going to jump on some more of your calls on that here in a second. 312-644-6767. Chuck Swirsky, we have confirmed, will join us in just a few minutes. 1 o'clock. That's about 8 minutes from right now. If you did not hear, Bill Walton died. He'd passed away at the age of 71, losing his battle with cancer. We know how important of a figure Bill Walton has been at all levels of his basketball life, especially in college at UCLA, what he did at Portland, the end of his career in Boston, and then maybe the most important part, or at least the most entertaining part of his career, was Bill Walton, the broadcaster, in, you know, on the sidelines for many games as part of the three-man booths in the NBA. He's been on this radio station a couple of times. He's been in the White Sox booth. We know what a character he is, and Chuck Swirsky knew the man well. So we will talk to the voice of the Bulls coming up at 1 o'clock. Also, the Cubs road trip continues today against the Brewers as Craig Counsell makes his return to Milwaukee. Pregame coverage starts at 2:35 with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call for the first pitch at 3:10. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. The White Sox swept in 4 games to the Orioles with the finale yesterday, where they didn't have a hit until the 8th inning. That was a Danny Mendick homer. Sox lost to the Orioles 4-1. They've lost 5 in a row overall. They are on the verge of their 40th loss if they go down at the hands of the Blue Jays today, a game that starts at 1:10. Was Pedro Grifol justified in what he was saying? It's Mark on the South Side. What's up, Mark? You're on The Score.
Hey, Mark, how you doing? Happy Memorial Day to you, your friends, and family.
Thanks, Mark.
Sorry to hear about Bill Walton. Quite an incredible individual. Pedro Grifol was right, and he had a right to almost go really on it. But anyway, the previous caller was right. That is a double-A team at best on that field every day, for more or less. And players not staying healthy. Eloy keeps going down. Robert's not playing. I think they're afraid to bring up Colson Montgomery and maybe even Kyle Busch, the pitcher they got, and Mark Eder, because if they go out there and pitch well and don't get run support, you know, they're going to start off their careers in a very disappointing way. I don't believe the White Sox can do anything, even if they lose 110 games. I think Pedro Grifol will keep his job to the end of the season, maybe going into next year, because Chris Getz and Tony La Russa, who's still part of the organization, for some God, I don't know, isn't in the manager, knows they cannot recruit a decent manager. And Pedro Grifol, I think, is not lost in right not to be manager. This is terrible. The team they put on the field every day, it's nothing but Mr. Reinsdorf's main fault.
Yeah, I mean, and then there was reports and rumors that, you know, the only reason Pedro Grifol is still here is because they didn't want to pay him on the way out the door. Today is not about whether Pedro Grifol keeps his job or not. Today is about, did Pedro Grifol do the right thing in laying into his team? And it's not like he called out an individual. He didn't do anything untoward, unless you don't like the fact that he used the F-bomb. But man, that is the best effect I thought. That is good usage of the F word. There's frivolous F word usage, and there is good usage of it, and I think we got a little bit of it right there. And before I use the word, let's quickly get to Ken in Prospect Heights. Hello, Ken, you're on the score.
Well, as far as the F-bomb is concerned, Lee Elia still leads that category. So,
yeah, he does. I'm sure the anniversary is right around the corner. It's always the anniversary of the Lee Elia rant, so I'm sure that's coming up at some point in time, Ken. Go ahead.
You know, this is no surprise, guys. Coming out of Cactus League, this team was showing its true colors in Cactus League. No surprise here at all that the only limelight that we have to look forward to is when Crochet pitches. He does a hell of a job pitching, and he's done a tremendous job for the team. And, you know, as far as, Pedro saying what he had to say, I'm not quite sure if he was directed to say it or was the fall guy to have to say it, but I don't know how you motivate these guys, and I cannot blame some of the players because of the experience they have, and like the previous caller said, a double-A team. You got what you got. This was no surprise. And until the product gets better on the field, I don't know how Reinsdorf can be begging for money for a new stadium because no matter what, until that product is better, you're not going to have fan support.
It is ironic that he would, ask for money and bigger things for a team that he does not really pour money into on the field. That is for sure. All right. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we are going to bring in the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, because it's a sad day in the NBA for a lot of people because Bill Walton passed away at the age of 71 of cancer. Chuck knew him well. I feel like we all think we knew Bill Walton well just because of his public persona, but we're going to get some insights from Chuck Swirsky coming up next. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.